Let's pray. Father, we thank you now that we can have this time in your word, this Bible study. And we thank you for the book of Romans. What a wonderful book it is. And Lord, you reveal in this book the path to salvation and eternal life. So now I humbly ask that you would pour your spirit out on me, Lord. In my weakness, that you would be strong, that you would do what only you can do, and that is be our teacher. The Holy Spirit would teach us and be with us and bring life to the word, bring life to our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Romans is about justification by faith. We've already discovered that in the first three chapters. It's interesting that Paul quotes when he says, I'm not in chapter 1, verse 16. Remember, that's the table of contents to the book, Romans 1, 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel is a salvation that is by faith from first to last. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's Romans 1, 16, the gospel. And when he says the just shall live by faith, or maybe your translation, the righteous will live by faith, he's actually quoting Habakkuk, of all things, Habakkuk 2:4. Write that down, Habakkuk 2:4 in the Old Testament. You wouldn't think, it's a very obscure verse, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. You see, the Bible all comes together as one book. It's all one book with one message. And the message is that God loves you. God is holy. And he had a plan to create us. And though sin had ruined us, to redeem us by his blood. So the message of justification by faith. Now, what we saw last week in chapters 2 and 3 is that we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That has been revealed very clearly. And this chapter now is going to continue to confirm this doctrine of a righteousness or a justification that is by faith in Jesus Christ. So let me begin reading chapter 4, Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's important to understand the story of Abraham. And God's in here, and Paul here begins saying, well, what did Abraham discover about in this matter? And he goes back and he quotes the 15th chapter of Genesis, in which he says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. If you go back and read the story of Genesis, you'll see that Abraham was originally called Abram, right? Abram and his wife Sarai. Later they got the name Abraham and Sarah, the A-H being a reference to putting God in their name. Abram, Abraham, Sarai, Sarah, God being their God. And Abraham actually means the father of all nations. But he, as Abram left Ur of the Chaldees, that's Babylon, he was told by God, way back in the 12th chapter of Genesis, leave your people and go to the land that I will show you. He left Babylon, and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going, he went to the land that God showed him. And as he was there, he pitched a tent, and he built an altar. So simple. And he had a relationship with God. God called him. And I love the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They pitch a tent, okay? They build an altar and pray. They dig a well. And they just have a relationship with God. That altar speaks of their relationship with God. A quiet life. Kind of like us now with the pandemic. We can't do very much. You know, where I don't know where your tent is right now, but there you are. And you know, you are in a relationship with God. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land in chapter 12. The story of Abraham, I wish you just read the whole thing. It's just so good. And there comes a point where his nephew Lot goes and lives in Sodom, and he has to rescue Lot. And he goes down and he rescues Lot with his 318 trained men. And he meets Melchizedek, the high priest. That's in the 14th chapter of Genesis. And Melchizedek, which I believe he was meeting Jesus. And the king of Sodom offers him all the wealth. And he says, no, I don't want your wealth. Just give me my people. So he refuses the wealth of Sodom. And then when you get to Genesis 15, God speaks. And God says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. And Abram goes, God, what do you mean? What can you give me? How can you reward me? I don't have any children. I don't even have children. All I've got is my servant, Eliezer. But Sarai doesn't have any children. And God says, Abraham, come out here out in the night sky. And he takes him outside. He says, Abram, look at the stars outside and see if you can count them. Now, on a dark night, it is impossible to see the stars. I mean, to count all the stars. There are so many stars. We don't see that many because we have city lights. But if you had a completely dark night, as he would have had, and you tried to count the stars, you would not be able to count them. They would be beyond counting. And God says, Abraham, that's how many children you're going to have. So shall your seed be. And Abraham went, I believe you, God. And because he believed God, God credited him righteousness. You believe me. You believe my promise, Abraham. I'm going to do it. And of course, we know that what that is a reference to is that someday Jesus would come, who is the descendant or the seed of Abraham, and that from this seed of Abraham, Jesus, the offspring, all those who believe would become saved, and they are what we call the children of Abraham. You know that child song we sing in Sunday school? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Okay, you're saying, stop singing, Pastor Roger. No, I'm just kidding. But we are, all of us, in one sense, we are sons and daughters of Abraham through our faith in Jesus Christ, whether we are Jew or whether we are Gentile. But you see, here's the thing. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, this word credited is important. See the word credited? It is in the Greek. I realized this morning that I've been pronouncing it wrong all these years. I listened to it carefully. It's logisomai. Logisomai. And the word logisomai is a reference to an accounting term in the Jewish language. It means I put it into your account. Some translations have it as it reckoned. But reckoned, we hear reckon, we go, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. No, this term means it's definitely there. I give it to you. I put it into your account. And when you believe, this is what we're going to discover. When Abraham believed God, it was put into his account that he was righteous. God declared Abraham to be righteous. And let's read on now, verse 4 in our text this morning. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Boy, is that an amazing verse. Romans 4:5, I recommend you memorize it. To him who does not work, okay, I'm not working for it. You know, see, the argument here is that when you believe in Jesus, God credits you righteousness. That's our message today. That's our message. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to the earth. You died on the cross. You rose from the dead. Lord, I declare I believe it. Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I didn't used to believe. 26 years, I was not a believer. I've told you this before. I remember I thought it was like Santa Claus or it was like the Easter Bunny. I did not believe. I thought Christians were superstitious or something. But God, by his grace, and nothing, I cannot boast of it. By his grace, he opened my heart to believe. And I can sit here and I can tell you now, all these years later, I'm not 26 anymore, I still believe Jesus is the Son of God. You see, when you believe in Christ, God credits you with righteousness. He credits it to you. And to the man who does not work, we cannot work for salvation. You cannot work to earn salvation. It is given freely. In fact, if you try and work for it, you would not receive it. Paul wrote in Galatians, he says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Wow, that's quite a verse. You are cut off. You don't even belong to Jesus if you're trying to go to heaven by the law. That's what Galatians says. It says, if you're trying to earn your way to heaven by the law, you don't even belong to Christ. To him who does not work, but just trust God who justifies the wicked. Is it amazing or what? That God would justify a wicked person? In our old nature, we were all wicked. But God just says, no, you believe in me, so I don't view you as wicked anymore. I credit you with righteousness. I credit you with righteousness. And you, I know you've heard this illustration before, but I'm going to give it again. So if you're, please put up with my repetition. When I was a boy, I used to have a bank account at Bank of America. This is way back in the 1960s. And I had my bank account, and I would do yard work. I would pull weeds, and I would earn 75 cents an hour. And then I got a job, you know, washing dishes, and I got $1.25 an hour. And then I got a raise to $1.50 an hour. And I would take my money that I had earned washing dishes at the Del Mar Fire Pit, and I would go to the bank, and maybe I would get a gift from grandma, and I would take that money. And little by little, I would build up my account. And every time I would put money in the bank, I would walk in the teller at the bank, and she would take the money, and she would stamp in my bank book what I had deposited. And I would look down with great joy and go, wow, I now am up to $75. Aha, you know? And I got back, those banks used to give interest, you know, 5%, 10%. I'd go, wow, I got $2 in interest or something. It was exciting. And as a boy, that was very valuable. As a matter of fact, the first car that I bought when I was 16 only cost me $65, a car. I'm really sounding old here. But it was a 1954 Mercury, I think. But the money was put in the bank. It was stamped in my book. And whatever said, that was that's how much money I had. If I got up to $120 or $200, maybe that was, wow, I'm up to $200, you know. And then if I went and withdrew the money, they were right in there. And that whatever that bank book said, that's what I had. And here, this term, logizomai, is a term that is used by, if you were a certified public accountant in those days, so to speak, it would be an account, you'd put it into the ledger. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, God credits you with righteousness. To the man who doesn't work, I can't earn it. I want to be good. Now, let's be clear. Genuine faith will change the way you live. Genuine faith will make you want to please God and make you want to make good choices to please him. But there is no point in trying to work for salvation, because all that does is cut you off, if you will. It says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all of our good works are as filthy rags. So Isaiah 64, 6, it's like, if I'm trying to work for it, it's filthy rags. And in the Hebrew, that is like leprous rags or a women's menstrual cloth. That's what it is in that language. Filthy, dirty rags. God says, I don't want your good works to try and earn salvation. Now, he does want us to do good works, but that's what we do because we're already saved, not to earn salvation. To him who does not work, but trust God who justifies the wicked, to him his faith is credited as righteous. Oh, Lord, thank you that you make righteous a wicked man. Thank you, God, that you credit righteousness to a wicked man, and I'm no longer wicked in your eyes, even though I know I sin still every day. I still struggle. Yet God says, no, you're righteous on the basis of your faith. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter because you believe in Jesus. Oh, but I lost my temper. Oh, but I did this. I did that. Oh, I did this again. You're my child because you believe in Jesus. I declare you to be righteous. And in your bank book, all I see is a big R. See that little thing that Janet had in the Sunday school lesson, the letter R? And he says, in your bank book, I declare that you're right. I told you before that in my morning times, I always keep a notebook. I have a notebook and I write down things. I'm always writing. And when I want to say righteousness, that takes a lot of letters to righteousness. Sometimes I just make a big R, righteousness. God credits you with righteousness because of your faith. That's the lesson of the day this morning. And then it says in verse 6, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin God will never count against him. Wow. Here David quotes Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And he says, you can go back and find it, Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered, whose sin the Lord will never count against him. When you believe in Jesus, God covers your sins. He forgives your transgressions. And he will never count your sin against you. That's the same word, logisomai. He will never impute sin to you. So you hold up that bank book again. God is not going to put into that bank book sin. He only has the letter R there. He does not impute sin. You go, but I still sin. Yes, you do. So do I. And he will discipline us. He may rebuke us. He may correct us. He may show us that we need to confess our sin and repent. But he, in terms of how he sees you in that bank book, which is your heart, he does not credit sin to you. God is not crediting sin to you today. It says in Hebrews, our sins and lawless acts he will remember no more. So beautiful verses right here. That's why I told you this is one of my favorite chapters, because this is a promise of God. This is not me trying to make you feel good. I'm telling you, my pastor is not just, I am a cheerleader, but I'm telling you God's word. God's word is, you logisomai, I have credited you with righteousness. It's in your account. It's a fact. It's not a fiction. This is what God has done for us in Christ. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are made righteous by faith. And God will never credit sin against them. That's amazing. You say, it's almost too good to be true. Yes, it is, but that's the gospel. Hallelujah. What a great God we have. What a great Savior we have. In Romans, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, God made him who had no sin to become our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So verse 9, Romans 4, 9, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he's the father of all who believe and have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he's also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Keep it very simple. Go back and read in Genesis chapter 15, and you will see that Abraham was not yet circumcised, but he saw the stars at night. God said, that's how many children you will have. So shall your offspring be, so shall your seed be. Abraham believed God, righteous. Then in chapter 17, two chapters later, God says, go circumcise your children. And then he gives them the promise that Isaac's going to be born. Laughter. Ishmael has already been born. And by the way, I want to point something out to you. Abraham did not have a perfect faith. He was You remember that he got was getting older, and you know, I'm kind of getting ahead in the story, but he was getting older, and Sarah was getting older, Abraham and Sarah, still no children. Sarah one day said, Abraham, I can't, you know, I'm not having any children. Why don't you take our handmaid and make her a concubine, you know, and have a child through her? So Abraham takes Hagar, and he has a relationship with Hagar, the servant girl, and of course, the child that is born is named Ishmael. And Ishmael grows up, and God says, "You're in chapter 17, you're going to have a child now." And he goes, wow. He says, you're going to name him Isaac. He says, I will bless Ishmael, but the promise is going to be through Isaac. You see, Abraham had actually taken Hagar because he was having kind of help God out. You know, that's what we do. We want to help God out. God promises us a child. He promises us that salvation is a free gift, and we go, well, I'll be good for you, and I'll add to it. No, God just, I want you to trust me for it. What I have promised, I will perform. What I have promised, I will accomplish. So as Abraham was made righteous before he was circumcised. This is important, folks, because circumcision, I told you, you know what it is. It's cutting away the foreskin of the male, and it represents cutting away the life of the flesh. I've told you before that it's in the New Testament, the counterpart to it is baptism. We bury the old nature and we rise into the new nature. And so if I believe in Jesus and I'm not yet baptized, am I a Christian? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Baptism is only an outward ritual, which is important, that confirms my faith publicly, where I symbolically bury my old life and rise out of the water with Jesus as my life. But baptism did not save me. Faith saved me. So the righteousness comes by faith, even if it's before circumcision. Okay. Well, verse 13. It is not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. So that, and when there is no law, there is no transgression, where there is no law. So the purpose of the law was not to save us. The purpose of the law was to expose sin, and that we're under the wrath of God because we broke the law, and only by faith in Jesus is the wrath removed. And the law is that every law that I've broken, the penalty has now been paid. Verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. I like that word, guaranteed, to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So, as it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations, okay? He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Okay, so the promise is guaranteed. You see that in your Bible in verse 16? Underlined guaranteed. I like the scripture that says two times in the New Testament, it says the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing the things to come. A guarantee is a good word, especially if the one giving us the guarantee is God. Then it's a dependable guarantee. He has guaranteed to us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He's guaranteed it through your faith. And he says he's the father of many nations. Then don't miss verse 17. He says, the God who gives life to the dead, that's what he did for us. We were dead in our transgressions, Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead. He gives life to the dead, and he calls things that are not as though they were. You know, God, you are what God calls you. Did you know that? You're not what you call yourself. You know, you can call yourself ugly if you want to, but if God says you're beautiful, you're beautiful. Whatever God says you are, that's what you are. And there is a story in the book of Acts, chapter 10, where Peter was in Joppa, And he was staying at the home of Simon the Tanner, which meant he was you know, killing animals and making hides and clothing. And while he was there, he went up on the roof to pray. They would go on the roof in those days. And Peter was up there and he had a vision. And he saw a sheet being lowered down with animals in it, all kinds of animals, even rats and all kinds of weird animals. And, you know, pigs and cows and everything. And these animals were coming up. And he heard a voice which said, "Take, kill, and eat. Take, kill, and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord. Not so." He says, I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. You know, I'm a Jew. I won't eat those unclean Gentile food." And God says, "Do not call unclean what I have called clean." And that's when Cornelius came, the representative of Cornelius came to the door, and Peter was sent to the Gentiles to give the message of salvation to the Gentiles. God was saying, don't call those Gentiles, just because they're not Jews, don't call them unclean, because I have called them clean. And by the way, you can go ahead and eat whatever animals you want. You can have pork chops if you want to eat pork chops, okay? So seriously, what God says we are, what we are. God accepts, you know, and that's powerful. God calls things that are not, so he can look at you or he can look at me and he can say, I see you as my son and as my daughter. I see you as holy and accepted. I don't feel that way about myself most of the time. But God's word says that if I have faith in Jesus, that's who I am. I was reading in the word the other day about the Zadokites. Zadok, Z-A-D-O-K. You should recognize that. Zadok was a priest who, during the time of when David was handing the kingdom to Solomon, there was an uprising. But Zadok stood with Solomon and he stood with David. And the descendants of Zadok are in great favor. And you can read in Ezekiel 44th chapter, it talks about the descendants of Zadok being good priests. And I would accept, you know, really just faithful priests. And I was going, Lord, I want to be a good, because a pastor's kind of a Levite. And I was going, Lord, I want to be a good pastor like Zadok. I like Zadok. And I want to be like the descendants of Zadok, faithful and good, but I know I'm really not. And God said, don't tell me you're not. I declare that you are by grace. I'm not the judge. God's the final judge of all of us. I don't judge myself. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, judge nothing before the appointed time. I don't even judge myself. See, so, but what God says we are, that is what we are. And it says in our text this morning, Romans 4, verse 17, God calls things that are not as though they were. To him who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, to him his faith is credited. Right. You get the picture of grace, you guys? Wow. What God has declared us to be. In 1 Peter, it says we are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. So we're all Zadokites. You're a Zadokite. We're all a kingdom of priests. We have purpose. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. And he declares us to be righteous, and he declares us to be his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, his poema. That's a beautiful craft of God, a workmanship. You are uniquely gifted by God. He made you in his own image. And as you believe in Jesus, now your gifts are ready to be used. You have a noble calling. You are what God calls you. The world may despise us, but God calls things that are not as though they were. Verse 18, Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he has promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. So here it says, Abraham, without wavering, another translation is without staggering. He didn't stagger regarding the promise of God. He didn't waver. but he without weakening in his faith. Against, and I like that phrase, verse 18, against all hope, Abraham hoped. Faith is difficult because sometimes your faith, if you, I'm sure you know this, your faith will be challenged. Like Psalm 42, David wrote about it. He said, the enemy taunts me all day long. Where is your God? Where is your God? How come he let you get sick? You really believe the Bible and all that? What about evolution? Where is your God? There are many things. We fight a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. And there are things which will challenge our faith. Our faith will be tested by fiery trials. We will go through things. And the Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When Paul came to the end of his life, he says, I have fought the good fight. He was about to be killed by Nero. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I'm looking on the screen at all of you, and I'm looking at Val's mom, Lily, who has got a few years. She's kept the faith. She's run a race of faith, and she still has faith. We have to go to the finish line with our faith. Jesus is Lord, because Abraham was our example. Against all hope, he hoped. He didn't waver. No, actually, he did. He took Hagar. Didn't he take Hagar? Okay, never mind, God. I'll get children this way. And yet God, in the New Testament, God says, no, he didn't waver. You know what that means? We don't have to have perfect faith. We just have to have faith. The early church didn't have perfect faith. They remember the church praying that Peter would get out of jail? And the angel of the Lord lets Peter out of jail after he killed James. Peter gets out of jail and he goes to the house of Rhoda, a house of John Mark, and the servant girl Rhoda comes to the door and she says, it's Peter. And they go, nah. And they were all praying for Peter. And they didn't believe it. The early church did not have perfect faith. Abraham did not have perfect faith, but God records his faith as acceptable without wavering. He believed against all hope. He hoped. Wow. I mean, he was 100 years old. Sarai was 90 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. Imagine your wife is 90. She's pregnant. So, I mean, but God kept the promise. And God's going to keep his promise to you. Every promise in Christ that is given to us is yes. Every promise of God's word is yes in Christ. Every promise is yes in Christ. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Every promise is yes in Christ. Joshua wrote, and he said, not one of all God's good promises will fail. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the authority. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And though the enemy may assail us, the world may challenge us, we're at warfare, and our faith will be under attack. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious is your faith, church. Treasure the faith. It says in Jude, build yourself up in the most holy faith. We are to make ourselves strong in the faith. We are to build ourselves up in the faith. And so stay in the word. Confess with your mouth Jesus. And so Abraham did not waver. Against all hope, he hoped. And then we'll finish up here now this morning. We're just about through. This is why it was credited to righteousness. Verse 23, the words, this is our lesson today. The words that was credited to him were written not for him only, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. The words that was credited are for you. Church, it's for us. If you believe in that Jesus was put to death for your sin and raised to life for your justification, See, the fact that Jesus was raised and sat down at the right hand of the Father means God accepted the sacrifice. The sacrifice on the cross, while we were yet sinners, we'll see that next week, Christ died for us. And so Jesus Christ, while we were wicked, while we were dead in our sins, he came to earth. God has revealed himself. And so the gospel is that if you will believe in Jesus, he will credit you with righteousness. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It is a free gift of God. And it is by grace and not works. It is by grace. That should make you want to relax. Oh, I'm saved. That should then make you want to live to please God because you fall in love with him because of what he has done for you. And your heart should just say, God, you're so good. It's humbling. It's humbling because there's something in me, I'd like to earn some of it if I could. If I could just, but there's no goodness in me. Paul said, there's nothing good in our flesh. That's what we studied last week, the sin nature. But in Christ is everything beautiful. In Christ is everything holy. And so as we saw in the children's lesson, we take off the old sin and God removes it. And we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I want to close by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17. Listen, this is who you are now. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You know this message? Now you be ready to tell it to other people. We met a woman in the park this last week named KP, and we just shared with her our faith. We said, and we prayed for her. She didn't believe in God. But we, you know, and you can just share your faith. Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. Share your faith with other people. What's in your bank book? Righteousness. What's in your bank book? Righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great truth of justification by faith. Oh, Lord, thank you that you put salvation within our reach. We could not earn it. We could not be good enough. We could not keep the law. There's no religious sacrifice we can make that can be worthy of heaven. And though you are perfect, though you are holy, you have offered heaven to us through giving your son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, whose blood ran down on the cross for all of our sins, and who said on the cross, it is finished. And Jesus, though they put you in the tomb is empty. You rose on the third day, and you are now seated at the right hand of the Father. You have provided purification for sin. You sat down, and now you live to pray for us. You're the creator of the universe. You are God, Jesus, and there is no other God, none before you, none beside you, none after you. Jesus, you are God. Now, Father, we declare, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we declare you. We put our trust in your word. I pray, Lord, now that you just give your church a wonderful week. Lord, will you please show us when we can meet again, where we can meet again? Please open the door for us to meet at the right time. Keep everyone physically healthy, spiritually healthy most of all. Bless the marriages in the church, Father. Help those that have children to raise the children to know you. And Lord, we just thank you that we are a family. And I pray for your spirit blessing upon each member of this family. Thank you for the grace of God revealed in the book of Romans. And so, Lord, Father, we praise you. Watch over us this summer. through the hot days, be our shade. And we thank you and praise you. You're a great provider. You're a great shepherd. Most of all, you're a great savior. Give you honor and praise, Lord. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.